Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Good afternoon, everybody. How are you doing, Paul?
I am seriously looking forward to this serious conversation here you have today.
You are seriously looking forward to a serious conversation?
I am.
I think you're in the wrong radio station. You're definitely on the wrong show. Because we don't talk about anything serious.
No, you got a heavy one today.
We don't talk about anything serious around here. Yeah, we do, actually. And so thanks, everybody, for joining us. We are definitely off and running after the beginning of the year. We've had some really great shows already in January. We got more interesting stuff coming up in February. And again, I just did a little video and posted it on social media. Remind everybody, if you're interested in being on The Rad Life, contact me, reach out to me. You can't miss me. I think you probably get nauseated as how much I'm exposed online.
And then, you are.
Rima's even laughing, right?
This is, I got to think about
truth
that.
Truth is
one.
Truth. There, you will get nothing but the truth on this show, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Right? I'll be your agent, Ron.
Right? I'm overexposed just by a wee bit. So the point is, you have no excuse for not being able to get hold of me. And if you're interested in being on the show, and you've paid attention to the show for a while, or you'd like to see the link, whatever, you can also find the show on Facebook. You can find it on Spotify. You can find it on iHeartRadio.
Oh, wow.
We are now firmly entering our fourth year of being on the air every week.
Oh, awesome.
How many people can say that?
Right? Yes, not many. Yes.
I have not been kicked out of the room. They tried to lock me out a couple of times, but I came through the window. Door's closed. I'll come through the window. But if you're interested in being on the show, please reach out to me. Take a look at the format of the show. It's very conversational. We always are addressing issues that are either of interest to me or that are current. We had a lot of people that were running for office last year, which was typical because it was an election year. We probably will have the same thing happen as we lead up to 2020. But meanwhile, we always have somebody in here that is basically sharing candidly their own journey, what they're working on passionately right now, whether it is caring for seniors, whether it's nonprofits, like Rima has her new nonprofit we're going to talk about today. GlobalHope365.org.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
And so go check it out while we're talking. Get familiar. And we really will not shy away from issues. So reach us out. The one thing I will tell you, if you are all about just plugging a product and service, this is not the right show for you.
No.
Okay? I agree.
Right.
I agree.
So with that being said, I'd like to introduce my guest today, who's a friend of mine. I have known her for a while. She is probably worse than I am in terms of how many things she has on her list of to-dos on a daily basis. Okay? So
yes.
I'm going to share this with you because I sat down with a friend of mine last year, and I'm telling her all about the stuff that I'm doing, and she took a piece of paper, and she made, and I don't know if you guys do this, she made squares on a piece of paper, like a grid, right?
Right.
And she called those buckets. And she started writing down every single thing that I was doing that was individually separated, whatever, as into one of these buckets. And then she looked at me and says, you know, and there must have been like 12 buckets on this page. She goes, you know, there's two empty spaces at the bottom of this page. And she was being totally sarcastic and saying, like, you think you might want to fill these out?
Yes,
like, don't
you actually,
have
you can help with Global Hope 365.
So see what I'm talking about? Because then what I did, okay, so imagine if I may borrow this.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
If she made this grid on this piece of paper, and she filled out everything in here other than the two spots down here. And then
she purposely left two open,
was telling me, like, you sure you don't have anything to fill these two as well? And I said, well, what are you talking about? Because you have a lot of stuff on your plate. And I said, well, but that's true. So there's no more room for you to add any more on the page. And I said,
I'll plug you into the last
two. And I said, there's another side to the piece of paper. Okay. So this lady
this
right
side.
Here. Yeah, this lady said, you see, she's doing it. She's already plugging her organization. This lady has really been very involved. And I'm going to let her basically tell you what she's been doing, what she had been doing in the past. She is constantly making things really better, whether it's through organizations she's involved in, through efforts of her own, through empowerment efforts and lectures and seminars and events that she puts together. So I am really happy to have you here today.
Oh, thank you.
And so, Rima, Ms. Rima Neshashibi, why don't you tell everybody else who hasn't had the privilege yet to know all that is Rima, tell them about you.
Oh, so you don't remember, huh?
Oh, I do remember.
Thank you. I'm going to reach in and give you a high five.
No, I do remember. My problem is... Okay, here you go. Okay. I'm sorry. You were talking to get Rima.
Yes. Okay. Nobody has ever called out Rod on that one.
Well, you know what? I knew she was going to do it to me today.
See, he very deftly pretends. You tell me all about yourself because he can't remember.
But No. In her case, it's not that. It's I want to make sure I don't open my mouth and put my foot in it and mention something I'm not supposed to. Because she has been very active, very involved. Anybody who knows Rima will tell you she is a force to be reckoned with. And everything that she gets involved in, she definitely brings that to bear. And we are all, as a community, in many ways, I'm just going to tell you, we are all very much the better for it.
You know, force to reckon with, Linda DiMario, actually.
You were here. Actually, you and Linda
yes.
were on the show
yes.
when we first started.
Yes, to talk about World Trade Week, which is coming up in May 2019.
Oh, she's plugging the chamber, too, see? Okay. But so, yeah. Hello, Linda.
Linda, hi. We're plugging World Trade Week.
Irvine Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah. She's the executive vice president and a fantastic.
We've got to get her in here again. She hasn't been here in a long time.
She's open invitation anytime you'd like.
A mentor of mine. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Actually, we should bring in some people that we started off with, like with the first year. I think we should have like a home week or a reunion and bring in some of those people back. Yeah.
So. We can have a party in here.
I think so.
We have some pretty good people, and they have not, you know, rested on their laurels. We met them 3-4 years ago. We introduced them to a lot of our listenership, and they have been out there just doing it. Carrie Kasem is one of them. Linda DiMario. Yeah, ladies, both of you, if you're listening to this, open invitation, and I will reach out to you to try to see if you will come back and, you know, bestow your energy and your wise words on us all.
All right, again. I'll call Linda as soon as I get out of here.
See, there you go.
Hey.
So,
all right.
What else are we going to talk about? Talk about yourself, okay? I know it's a hard. Like, you have a hard time talking about yourself.
I do. I'm a very shy person. You know that, right?
That's why we get along.
Basically, yes, absolutely. We're almost the same. Almost the same. But I did the same thing. A friend of mine that I'm in partnership with on the business side said, how many things are you involved in? How can you follow up on all
of
them?
Do you ever sleep?
Do you ever sleep? Yes. Yeah. And I said, you know, I have to basically compartments. I have to look at emails from 6 to 7. From 5 to 6 is one section. 6 to 7, another section. 7 to 8 is then I'm done with emails by then. Otherwise, I'm going to lose my mind.
You'll spend the whole day on communication and emails.
Yes. But I try to respond to all my emails in the morning. I look at things on the go during the day and then at night. So if you haven't received an answer from me, my friends, please give me some slack.
Yeah. She had to be on the radio show, so she didn't get to all her emails today.
Yes.
Well, Rima, before we talk about Global Hope 365, let's just some of the stuff that you've been involved in over the years. I mean, you've been very active in Orange County. You've been very involved in things that are in advocacy in general.
Right.
And some of them have had a little bit of a leaning politically. Some have not. But I mean, it's an unavoidable thing. It's part of life, right?
Hey, yeah, of course. Yeah. You're in Orange County. You can't help but be a Democrat. Oops. I shouldn't have said that.
Well, actually, it's 2008, 2019. It's probably an accurate statement.
Oh, so you're the one. Right.
Yeah, she's the one Democrat in Orange.
Yeah. My brother is a Republican. God help him. So, hey.
He's also a nice guy.
But you know, I've been very involved. My main thing is empowering women and young girls and children. So whatever I do basically is around this. As you know, I've been the vice chair of the Democratic Party in Orange County for 10 years. And when they replaced me with 4 vice chairs. Just a point of information.
Only 4?
I'm not saying only 4. But I was also...
They're cutting back. You need two more people, I think, at least. Okay.
We need to have Ada come in and explain this.
Ada, what the heck? You four people?
No, it wasn't Ada.
It wasn't Ada. Okay, Ada, you got to remedy the situation, okay? In the balance, it doesn't... Rima and she be four people. I'm not taking away from the four people, but there's a little... Okay.
But... I was also president of National Women Political Caucus, and I care very greatly about this because it's nonpartisan.
Yeah.
And it's all about women getting elected into office. As you know, we had a very dismal percentage. Do you know what was the percentage of women in office?
What was the percentage?
19% to 20%. Do you know worldwide what was our number, the United States worldwide, of women in parliament?
How much?
98 behind Afghanistan. Hello?
Oh, you mean in terms of ranking?
In terms of ranking, yes, yes.
Like we were on the bottom of the list.
But if Afghanistan is ahead of us.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're saying 90, I mean, that's
so you're
that's
saying Afghanistan
low.
Has more low. Women in government
and parliament? Absolutely, in parliament, yes. Wow. That was before the last election, though.
Wow. Yeah, well, no, last election was completely different.
But that was before the last election.
Right.
But
about time.
We say we're the world leader, and we had 19% to 20% in the House and the Senate. That's unacceptable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And same thing when we say when the Department of State says child marriage is human rights abuse in other countries, I'm saying no, it's human rights abuse in this country.
Ooh.
We need to take care of our children first. You didn't know that child marriage is prevalent in the U.S. Did
no,
you?
I did not.
Child
okay.
marriage
and actually,
child
you
marriage.
Can't be anywhere in the U.S. Come on.
Well, and
on.
I think what Rima's point is that we're basically pointing our fingers outward when, in fact, we
absolutely.
Should be looking at our own house first.
Yes.
That's something that happens somewhere else, not here.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So talk about that. That's crazy.
So it is crazy. Yeah. And that's why I'm saying we need to have more women elected to office. Then we wouldn't have these wars that we get involved in all over the place. And you know what happens when we have wars and conflicts, any kinds of war and conflicts, is who gets the brunt of this? It's women and girls.
Yeah.
They get raped. They get trafficked. They get married
early.
And
that story is as old as time.
Yes, yeah. Yes. It is as old as time, and it keeps going on. It keeps happening. And we say the Industrial Revolution, what about revolutionizing how we treat women and girls in this country? And globally. Mm-hmm.
So you got to explain about child marriage in this country.
Well, before she does the poll, I want to talk about something. Riman, I don't know how much you can say about this or not, but I also know that you have been involved in empowering women when it comes to running for office, when it comes to basically representing communities for a while. This is not a new thing for you.
Yes.
And it's not just been limited to the United States or Orange County, right?
No, it hasn't.
Okay.
But... I was sent to train Palestinian women in 2000 by the State Department on how to run for office.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great for me because I'm Palestinian myself. I've been an American citizen since 1985. But it was great for me going back to the place that I was born
in. So let me ask you a question, because what you just raised makes me want to ask this question. Okay, so you were sent by the State Department to train and educate what Palestinian women to run for office in Palestine. Okay?
Yes.
Does that service apply to women here unless it is through the different parties? I mean that's a governmental decision to send you off to increase the chance of women involved in politics in somewhere else.
Yeah, the parties do it here. They need to do more of it.
But the government as a whole, I mean, it's kind
but
of blows
listen,
my,
listen.
Yeah.
If the government came to us and said, we want to train you on how to run for office, we're going to say, why are you doing it? This is not your business.
Ah.
But the different political parties should train more women to run
for
office.
And does that happen?
And they should empower them. Absolutely.
Okay.
The Democratic Party does that all the time.
Okay.
I don't know about the other party, but I know the right party does it all the time.
Okay. Can I interrupt for 1 second? We did have a woman in here a couple of years ago. I can't remember her name or the exact organization, but she was affiliated with the Republican National Party. And her job was, as I recall, to go around to different areas and to try and recruit women to run as Republicans. Obviously, we know Republicans have a problem with women right now here, and she came to Orange County specifically and came to the show because in this county there were more Republican women at that time than anywhere else.
Which,
Walters, which
is true. Yeah, there was a good representation.
A sizable number of women in office. And what she said was this. I'll throw this out. I thought this was very controversial. She said, this is just a problem we have everywhere. She said, if I go into some county and I try and recruit a man to run for office, we go around, look at the top attorneys or business people or whatever, and we approach them out of the blue and say, we think you should run for office. He inevitably says, yeah, I think I should. What? That's a great idea. She said, but our experience is when we go and find a similar woman, executive or attorney or whatever, and we say, you should run for office, they go, oh, no.
When was this, Paul?
I'd say about 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay, so that whole arena has changed.
And she was just
saying, in general.
I think someone, but she said there was something inherent that women inevitably, this is what she said, and I've had other people kind of say this, that there's something holding women back. They sort of think through the issue too much.
Instead of us guys basically talking about it, why don't you answer it, Rima?
I'll answer. You know, a woman's job is 24/7. Yeah. It doesn't stop, right?
Yeah.
So, and she, the woman looks at the bigger picture, and she says, okay, so I have my children, I have my family, I have my job. Can I do this? Can I serve my constituents in the way they should be served? Can I represent their interests in the way they should be represented with everything that I have? Because she's looking at, am I the right person for the job? However, the man is like, yo, I'll do it, because what? They go do their job, and then they go home, and they have nothing else to do.
Right, there's less on the plate.
And I know there are men who are helpful and
involved
and all chores are divided 50-50, but in general, men don't. And so the woman has to look at this and say, can I do it?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I mean, should I do it?
Yeah,
of course I can do it,
but should I do it?
But should I do it? So women look at that. But
I think her point was that women are sort of holding themselves back and saying,
and that's
I can't do it. A man immediately says, yeah, I can do that. I can do anything. And the woman immediately says, I don't know if I can do that.
But that's why.
Yeah.
Because
no,
when
true.
I did the training in other countries in the Middle East, and we do that when we did training here, is do you have the time to run for office? Because running for office is going to take a toll on your personal life.
Absolutely.
Are you ready for some consequences? If you're going to spend 80% of your time outside the house, is your husband or your partner going to say, hey, wait a minute, this is taking too much, we can't do this, this is not the right thing. But if a man runs, and so the support is not there most of the time, but if a man runs, the woman is supporting him, his partner, his wife, will say, yes, of course, do it, it's for the family. So we need to see more support.
Right.
We need to see more support of men supporting their wives when the opportunity knocks its door. Because sometimes when the opportunity knocks, you've got to jump on it and take it, because it's not going to come again. You'll be lucky if it comes knocking on your door again.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. A lot of people, well, I won't run now, I'll run later. And sometimes there's a window.
Absolutely.
And you're kind of aligned with things that are happening and what you're putting your energy in. And it's that moment where you have to make a decision, yes or no. But you're right. It may not come again.
But remember, the Democratic Party in Orange County, the last chair was Frances Adayo.
Mm-hmm.
She's a woman. And then the current chair is a woman also.
Mm-hmm.
And they uplift.
Yeah, Fran is a friend too.
Yes, they uplift women.
Yeah.
And we had major successes.
Yeah, she did a great job, actually.
Right.
But
to go back to child marriage.
So let's talk
about
this.
Because I know he asked me about this. Mm-hmm. To go back to child marriage, we had 250,000 children, child marriages that are reported here in the U.S. between 2000 and 2012.
How can that be? Is that even allowed?
It is allowed.
Yeah.
Up until last year, mid of last year, all 50 states, it was legal to have a child marriage.
And let's define that when you say child marriage.
Okay, I was getting there. Yeah. If you don't interrupt me too much.
It's hard not to. You're bringing provocative stuff out here.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Rima Nesheshibi show.
We'll leave and we'll come back when she's over.
Paul and I are just here for window dressing.
Okay. We did that the last time, didn't we? This is like
this. This is a repeat. This is a 2.0, Rima Nesheshibi show 2.0.
But jeez, now I lost my train of thought.
You were talking about, is it legal in all 50
yes,
states?
Yes, it
and
is
how?
Legal.
And how do we define it?
Child marriage is marriage under 18.
Okay.
And it is legal. It was legal in all 50 states until the middle of last year.
Okay.
Because in some states, it was legal to marry at the age of 13.
Wow.
In some states, 14, 15, 16, 17. In states like California, they say no child marriage under 18. However, there are exceptions.
Like parental
and this
consent.
Parental consent and judges' approval and consent or both. Mm-hmm. But what we're saying... my goal for myself, or my marching orders for myself and our team of volunteers, is that we're going to have a bill here in California that says no child marriage under 18, no exception.
Right.
No exception.
Right.
And child marriage was one of the reasons that I wanted to start this nonprofit. And it was because it started in 2016 when I received a whole bunch of messages. The universe sent me a whole bunch of messages, and I'm saying, I need to start a nonprofit. I need to start a And it wasn't until last year that a friend of mine, Gus, Gus Tobias, said, you know what, stop talking about it and just do it.
Sounds like Gus.
Just do it, yes. Yeah. Yes, so I did. And then his friend, he happens to be an attorney, Daryl Sheets, basically got us the 501c3, and he called me while I was attending my niece's wedding in Jordan and said, we've got it in less than a month. So that was awesome. But the email that I received, let me regress by talking about why did I start this nonprofit. In 2016, I was visiting my brother overseas, and I received an email from a friend of mine that I met here. Her name is Radha Podel. She's a nurse. She's from Nepal. And I met her here and for the first time, and she was doing presentations on the situation of women and girls in Nepal. Have you ever heard of Chaupadi? Okay.
For those, I'm sure
I don't
a lot of people
know.
Do
no.
not know, including Paul.
Explain
yes,
that,
explain
right.
that, please.
Okay. Chaupadi in Nepal and some parts of India, and it's based on a Hindu practice, if a woman or a girl has her period, or a woman just had a baby, they put them in the cow shed with the animals.
Mm-hmm. What?
So they cannot,
in the cow shed
yes,
with the animals?
Yes.
Because they're unclean? Or?
Yes, yes.
Exactly.
Because they consider them unclean, and men think that if they touch them, they're going to get sick. I watched a video by a healer there saying, oh, if they go into the house, a tiger will come in. And they're not allowed to eat all kinds of food. They're allowed to eat rice, only rice, salt, and some milk.
And this happens every month? They put them out in the shed there?
Yes, yes, yes. And some young girls committed suicide because it was traumatic for them to go into the shed. And my first exposure to this, when I was helping Radha after I met her here with her PowerPoint, just to tighten it up, and one slide, till now, I remember, it said, bitten, beaten, it said cow shed, bitten, beaten, death. I said, Radha, what does that mean? Before we can verbalize this in the slide, what does it mean? And she explained to me about Chaupadi. And I said, this is happening now? In the back then it was 20th century? She said, yes. And it's still happening. So I received, in 2016, I received another email from Radha, and she's the first woman in Nepal to start, go and raise this about menstrual discrimination and raising awareness so they would stop doing this. I don't want to jump because there's, unfortunately, there's another death that happened right after our inaugural event on January 8th. The next day, I get an email, a Google alert, about a woman and her two boys dying in a Chaupadi hut because of smoke inhalation. Because it's a cow shed. There is no door. There's an opening. There's
methane
no door.
Methane and everything else. Yeah.
Yeah, so she lights a fire so they can sleep. They're in the Himalayas. And they die from, so they can get warm, and they die from smoke inhalation.
Installation. Yeah.
Yes.
Inhalation.
So, so Radha sent another, in fact, here's the picture, we'll show it for the video. It says, a young woman died in a menstrual hut in Nepal. And that's in 20, I said, this can't keep happening. And then I come back here, and my cousin brings me the New Yorker magazine with an article, and she said, you need to read this. I know you'll be interested, but please don't read it at night. I'm like, I'm the kind of person, if you tell me this, I'm going to read it.
Yes, I'm going to read it at night. Yeah.
don't
tell me what to
now.
Do.
Right.
So it's called Out of Sight, but it's a former prostitute tries to rescue Iraq's most vulnerable women. It's about human trafficking in Iraq. And I started reading it at night. I had to put that magazine down. I couldn't finish. I think I'm a strong woman. I couldn't finish that article.
It How about genital mutilation in Africa and other places, too, where they mutilate women well, so they
let's,
won't...
Let's stay on point.
Sorry, Rima, I'm looking at this. For those who are listening, you talk about this. Is this something that's on your website?
Yes.
Okay, so it's, at, again, globalhope365.org. Go check it out. It's one of the articles.
Yeah, when you go to in the news, we have so many articles about child marriage, about human trafficking, and about chalpati. So if you want to get educated, they're all in one spot, globalhope365.org. Thank you for the plug. But it talks about human trafficking in Iraq and the prevalence of it. And I have a friend in our embassy there, and I sent them the article, and I said, is this on point, understated, overstated? They said it's understated. So I said, and there's only one safe house. And I said, like, yeah, I have to start a nonprofit. We have to have more safe houses.
For the whole country, there's only one safe house?
No, in Baghdad.
Oh, Baghdad. In Baghdad, the capital. Yeah.
So I'm like, we have to have another safe house. I have to do this. And then what really clinched it is when I get an article from a friend of mine who's very active in the United Nations Association of Orange County, Joy Adams. She sent me an article, and the heading is, 11 years old, a mom, and pushed to marry her rapist in Florida. And it talks about this young girl in Florida who was raped by a minister and a parishioner at the church at 10 years old. At 11, she became pregnant. And then child services started roaming around because they wanted to do an investigation.
Yeah.
So the parents get together with the church, and they marry her off to the rapist.
To eliminate the rapist.
Yes.
So, she can't
testify. So there's no
then.
Investigation. So they go to the Tampa County clerk at 11 years old. And this article is written by Nicholas Kristof. I love that journalist. Mm-hmm. He writes for the New York Times. And he wrote a book called Half the Sky. People out there, if you haven't read it, read it. It's about human trafficking. It's another eye-opener. So he basically said in the article that, I mean, she was married at 11 to the rapist, who's 20. Mm-hmm. And she was abandoned on and off. Six children later, abandoned on and off. And at 11, you cannot drink, huh? You cannot rent an apartment, you cannot drive, you cannot vote, but you can get married at 11. And she recalls that her mom said, oh, do you want to get married? And she said, what is marriage? What do I need to do? And so the mother says, well, I guess you're going to get married. And so at 18, she divorced her husband. And now she is educating and raising awareness within the legislature in Florida so they can have a law that says no child marriage under 18, no exception. So we had 250,000.
It's brutalization. I mean, this is what it is.
It is emotional, mental, and physical abuse.
Yes.
But you wouldn't be shocked to believe that most of us, me included, would not think this is happening at all or much in this country. We somehow think we're way past that.
No, 250,000. It's still happening now. I mean, we tried to pass such a law last year here in California. It didn't pass. Mm-hmm. It didn't pass. Mm-hmm. So can you tell me how...
Because I suspect many people have no idea it's still happening here in this country.
Well, but if there was a law that was an attempt to pass, and let's just talk about that for a second. Do you have, looking back at why it didn't pass, do we know why it didn't pass?
Yes.
Was it a delusion, disbelief?
No, because some people think, some legislators think, because of their, I don't know, religious, political leaning or whatever, they say, oh, if you're married, you're better off, if you're pregnant, you're better off.
Regardless of age, be better off.
Regardless of whether it's the rapist or not, yes. So
rather than being alone raising a child, right?
We here have decided in the United States that if someone cannot vote, why do we say you cannot vote until you're 18? Because we think, or you cannot drink until you're what?
17, 18, depending on the state, yeah.
Yes. And if we're saying that, and you cannot drive, because we think for you to make a rational, responsible decision.
Deductive decision that you can hold responsible to.
Yes, you have to be at that age. Yeah. But we will allow girls to get married at 11. So last year, Delaware, we are the most liberal state in the country. I do not see how we cannot pass such a law. Delaware beat us to it. Last year, the legislators in Delaware passed a law that said no child marriage under 18, no exception. New Jersey followed. The legislators there passed that law, but then their governor, Christopher Christie, decided he vetoed it. So the new governor approved it, and they passed it. So Delaware is the first, New Jersey is the second. And by the grace of God and all the volunteers and everybody who's listening, we need to call our elected officials and say, we need to pass a state law here that says no child marriage under 18, no exceptions.
Is there one in the works?
I've already met, you know, we mentioned the one that was they tried to pass last year. It didn't work. But I've met with Assemblywoman Sharon Quirk Silva, and she's very excited to work on this initiative. Mm-hmm. And it was a great meeting that we had. Mm-hmm. And I'm also going to meet my senator, who happens to be Pat Bates, and she's very good on these issues. Mm-hmm. She tried to pass a bill that gave human traffickers a heavier penalty, and we'll get to human trafficking. What is the time? I don't want.
We're okay. I think we're okay, Paul. Right?
We've got another 20 minutes or so here. Right? Yeah.
So I don't want to really take a break. I think this is a very important topic, and I just want to go through the whole airtime. But so just to paint a picture too for people, because I already think I know the answer to this. You keep referring to it as child marriage. And like under the age of 18.
Yes.
But what we're really talking about is this is not a balanced situation where it's boys and girls. It's mostly impacting girls.
Girls, mostly. There's some boys, but
I'm saying that because we're referring to it as child marriage, but it's really the women or the girls.
98%.
That are 90% of the situation.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Now, what about there are parts of the country, I'm sorry to say, and we all know them, down in the South, the Deep South, where this idea of child marriage still persists somehow. We just saw it with Roy Moore running for the Senate.
But that's not true.
Elvis married his childhood. Jerry Lee Lewis married his 13-year-old cousin. I mean,
these are stereotypes. You know, the number one state as far as child marriage per capita is Idaho.
Yeah.
But as far as sheer numbers, it's Texas.
Yeah.
Texas.
So it's not the Deep South where we're hearing these instances.
They charged. Well, that's what makes article where they charged a woman because she married her daughter, who was 14, to a 47-year-old man. They charged the mother and the man. Yes, do it. I mean, this is unacceptable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, Paul, if anything, your reaction to this is actually what you had asked before. How could this be possible? I think it's because there's a factor of denial. It doesn't happen in California. Well, Rima just told you that basically a bill that was on the books, was being voted on, didn't pass on this particular topic in a very liberal state. And so it isn't something that we can just stereotype and say, oh, it's in the Deep South or it's in the backwaters of anywhere.
Right. Hey, thank you. Great one.
But I'm going to walk up and down the building here and ask everybody, do you think there's a child marriage is happening here in California? And I'd bet money that 99.9% of the people I stop in this building would say no.
But ask them if it's happening in the U.S.
Yeah, ask the question is happening in the U.S. because you just answered that same question. A minute ago, you said, how could it be possible it's happening here? And then you turned around and said that understanding
few backwater
it in the
backwater areas.
In
yeah,
South.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
So stereotyping
yes,
again.
Yes, but you know, I also did a presentation about this at the United Nations Association in Orange County. 99%, except the volunteers who helped me start this nonprofit, knew that we had child marriage in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Because, and what really gets me is the report, the State Department report that says it is human rights abuse in other countries. What about our kids here in the U.S.? That's human rights abuse here,
too. Why hasn't this been brought forward? Why are we still ignorant?
Because I think there's apathy when it comes to women and girls. I think it's apathy.
We don't care?
We don't care. Had we cared, we would have passed it.
I have a daughter. I care. We all care. Daughters.
Actually, that's why my friend Daryl helped me quite a bit because he has a daughter.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't want this happening to my daughter or her friends or anybody I know. And that's why he's supporting me 100%. Even when it gets to be too much, Daryl says, come on, Rima, do it.
You know what, Rima, it's interesting. Paul, I think you raise an important point, which is basically, and I think this is not relevant to this topic only, but all topics that make us uncomfortable. And we talk about this show basically, you know, we started off talking about elder abuse and what happened with Casey Kasem and, you know, with his daughter. And that was at the hands of his wife. I mean, mean, you know, is it that far-fetched that we have blinders on about something like this? When at that point, 3 years ago, before Carrie Kasem basically started her nonprofit, Kasem Cares, there was not one state in the union that actually had laws on the books that allowed you as a child to legally request visitation of your parent, that the spouse basically controlled and the segregation yes. of kids from their parents, and that no state in the union, liberal or otherwise, basically was able to see the need for something like that. I think when it comes to uncomfortable topics and ones that are basically very either on gender basis
yes.
or on generational basis, okay, we tend to want to put the blinders on for our own comfort level. We don't want to be pushed beyond that comfort zone, because yes. then we will have to be pushed into action.
We have
action.
To do something about
exactly.
it. Yes.
I think it's a good point, and I'd agree with that. So we've only got 15, 20 minutes. We talked about child marriage. Let's talk about
human trafficking.
And before you do that, I just want to say, who is the woman I mentioned to you that was in here on another show that runs this program in Vanguard here?
Dr. Sandra Morgan.
Yes, that's another person we should have back in here, because she came once and talked about this. And what she opened my eyes to, and I hope you'll talk about it, is it's not just sex trafficking, which we hear about.
But it's labor trafficking.
Labor trafficking, too. Yep.
But what I would like to also have here is Lynn Tran, who's the administrator for the Orange County Human Trafficking Task Force.
Line it up. We'd love to have her.
And Sergeant Juan Reveles from Anaheim PD, who's doing tremendous work vis-a-vis human trafficking.
Yeah. Bring him in.
But I don't know. I will. But it was too late. I was going to contact him for this, but I thought that's very short notice.
I knew full well that this was not going to be a topic that we're going to handle in one show.
Yeah.
I wanted to highlight the fact that you were now dealing with this new nonprofit that you set up, what the focus was, and I think this is a conversation that needs to be expanded. Because the more we talk about it, the harder it is for us to basically ignore the fact that we have to take some action.
Absolutely. And do you know that we call it modern-day slavery? You know, January is Human Trafficking Month.
In the county, in the country?
I thought it was just my birthday.
No, it's not nationwide.
Okay.
Nationwide. I can't tell you how many people, after speaking to them about the nonprofit and why I started it, or going on my, or after my talks and my speeches, they sent me like a picture that they took from In-N-Out Burger, because on the trail liners, it says human trafficking. They have a button on that says human trafficking prevention.
For In-N-Out Burger?
But you know what, Rima, let me ask you something.
Great. But also...
I didn't hear a lot about it in January, though. Isn't that funny? If it was Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I'd be hearing about it every day, maybe five or six times.
Yeah.
If it was something that was, you know, even Movember, male prostate cancer in November, I'd be hearing about it all the time. I have to tell you...
Well, that's why we have Global Hope 365.
Right.
I hate to say I heard more about National Pi Day last week than I did about human trafficking.
Oh, that is not
We got more press releases and more people talking about... It was literally National Pi Day last week.
But you know what?
It's very interesting.
We're into the digital age right now. I have a great outfit that helped me with this... website.
Yeah.
It's Innova Accelerator.
Okay.
And they built the website for me, David Hullam and his team, and Payman, the programmer.
Where are they based out of? Are they here?
Right
local?
Here in Irvine.
Okay.
And, you know, they're accelerators. Mm-hmm. So they're going to bring up this website.
Mm-hmm.
So every time you look at human trafficking, you're going to get Global Hope 365. They do a tremendous job.
Well, let's talk about the issue. So it's human, it's modern-day slavery, and it's obviously sex trafficking, and it's going on right...
It's labor and sex trafficking.
There was the famous case a couple of years ago, which we mentioned off-air, where one of the Saudi royals was living here in Orange County.
But this is 0.01% of the cases.
And you're going back to stereotyping again.
Again.
No, but she didn't. She had a slave in her house, right?
How many people do you think behind the white fences of gated communities in Orange County have that same scenario happening right now?
I think there's more of them. And the other one that the other woman brought up is you go to, like, Vietnam. Vietnamese nail salons or other sorts of immigrant businesses.
Go ahead, Rima.
But there's around 40 million people globally that are victims of modern-day slavery. And around 25 of them are in forced labor, mm-hmm. and 15.4 in forced marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So the 15 million in forced labor, that includes sex trafficking and labor. But did you know that one in every... four victims of modern slavery is a child.
And that's an unbelievable quote. 25%.
Yes. Did you know that 99% of the victims in commercial sex industry are women? But what I'm sure none of you knew, that I just looked at an article and it said by police in Florida, and it's happening here in Newport, 12-year-olds are soliciting 12-year-olds in schools
what?
To be victims of human trafficking.
They're going to their friends or
say more. Students? Say more about that. Soliciting how?
They basically, somebody tells them what to say, what to do, and they bring their friends to meet this person who gets them into human trafficking.
So 12-year-olds are being used to draw in other 12-year-olds or children into that.
Yeah, if you think this is not happening, I mentioned that in our inaugural event, and the next speaker was Deputy Chief of Police in Newport, Jay Short, and he confirmed everything that I said. It's happening, people. Open up your eyes.
The Chief of Police of Newport.
Deputy Chief of Police of Newport
confirmed it.
So somebody's going up to your child in middle school and saying, hey, I got some way you can make money here, and I want you to meet my friend, and so you turn a few tricks or whatever.
But it's not just that. See, it's a $150 billion industry, okay? Because I want to mention something before we get off there. It's
a $150
billion industry. It's about demand and supply. We need to disrupt that equation of demand and supply. So do you know if somebody is caught soliciting sex, buying sex from someone, on the street, in a hotel, or a house, a home brothel, or massage bar, or whatever, and they get caught, do you know what they get?
Probably a minor.
Misdemeanor?
A misdemeanor.
Yeah.
A misdemeanor. In Texas, the all the legislators from the governor down, they are now saying, in order to disrupt this equation, with I've been saying before I read that article, we have to increase the penalty, not just on the pimps, the traffickers, but also on the johns that buy sex. Sorry about using that expression.
No, you're eliminating
but
the demand.
It's basically, yes. Mm-hmm. So if we consider, and they want to make it in Texas a second degree felony. What I'm saying, upping the ante, is not only do we want it here in California as a second degree felony, we want to put them on a sex offender registry. So your mug, your picture, is right there in the sex offender registry. If you want to go and see if you have a pedophile or any sex offender in your neighborhood, and you go to the registry, oh, your neighbor's going to pop up.
A lot of cases, also, people will flippantly say, oh, it's a victimless crime, too. That's something I've heard. Like,
how do you know that victim is not trafficked?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not agreeing with that. Yes. I'm saying that is a flippant way to just minimize it.
Yes.
When in fact it isn't a victimless crime. In fact, it has ripple effects beyond even the two people involved.
And how do you know that young girl or woman that you're buying sex from is not a minor? You don't.
Exactly.
But that's no excuse.
You don't
want
to know.
Yes.
Yes, Paul. Do we have a call?
You have a caller here. You got somebody who's... Who's been motivated to join the conversation. Identify yourself and ask your question here.
Yes, hi, good morning. Regards to you and your guest. My name is Gus Tubia.
Hi, Gus. Nice to have you on the air.
And what would you like to say? Something you'd like to add to the conversation or ask?
On the heel of yesterday's news, this the timing of this program today couldn't have come at a better time to highlight the importance of the child trafficking cause, especially throughout California, and those that are sleeping cells among us. You know, they could be the people next door we don't know about. And what I wanted to say, law enforcement in California is on top of it, but it still needs the help of organizations like Global Hope 365. Those are very important, and I encourage listeners to open their wallets and donate for the cause. Anybody with a child, especially among the people saved yesterday, there were like three children.
What happened yesterday? I wasn't.
Yeah. It was a sting operation that law enforcement did all over the states, and they charged 399 people. And there was, I think, half a dozen 13-year-olds, victims of human trafficking, that were caught in this sting operation. And law enforcement is doing great. They're treating them. Thank you, Gus, for that, for reminding us about that sting operation. It's happening here around us. I mean, it was all over the state that they did this.
State of California.
Yes. And when you have 13-year-olds that are being trafficked and become sex slaves and other ways too, you've got to open your eyes and say, I will not sit silent on the sidelines. I will call my representative, my state legislators and say, I want you to increase the penalty of the people who buy sex from a minor to a second degree felony. Mm-hmm. I want you to put them on the sex offender
register. This is a moral issue. Yes. This is not a political issue. This is not a party issue. This is a moral issue.
Absolutely.
When we had the woman in, whose name escapes me again, from Vanguard University, the program that you mentioned.
Dr. Sandra Morgan.
Yes. She said that Orange County actually ranks pretty high on sex trafficking because our proximity to, we're in between San Diego and L.A., the ease of access to get to Vegas, and obviously the big conventions and Disneyland and foreign tourists coming here where maybe they have a different view of this.
Transient residency.
No, yeah. No, but let me tell you, the other reason is, and I had this discussion with Sergeant Juan Revelis, is that, did you know that in Orange County we have 43 million visitors a year? All right.
A lot.
So, right. Yes. And we have a fantastic hospitality industry, right? And then we have an affluent county. So these
you
get
have a
together.
Marketplace,
yes.
Basically.
So we are a demand county. This is considered a demand county. So human trafficking victims are brought in from outside
to service the demand.
So we have to stop this equation. So if we increase the penalty on the perpetrators, be it a trafficker or someone who buys sex, then we're going to disrupt this.
So I
just want to cut off. Gus, yeah. Anything else you want to add? Thank you for calling in, Gus.
No, I just wanted to say thank you for hosting this show, and thank you, Rima, for being an advocate for this noble cause.
And thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Input. Appreciate it.
What's the penalty if you're caught trafficking?
Hold on, I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's also dawning on me that we were talking about affluence, we're talking about demand, we're talking about, you said it would be brought in to service the demand. The demand that is basically coming in, whether it is locally residing or temporarily residing or visiting, let's call it, right? Okay. There's also another layer to this thing that is additionally in especially affluent communities, and that is income inequality. When you have a situation in affluent communities where you have basically those at the one end of the spectrum and those on the other end of the spectrum, I would think that there's also economic forces that start to come into play in this, which makes the appeal or the draw or whatever, the solicitation, bringing people into the life, there's another layer to this. I mean, it's like it is disgusting on every level. And we keep turning our blind eyes to this inequality that basically then leads to abuse, that leads to basically people being victimized at an early age, that basically then has a life cycle's effect basically on their lives. And now we are basically having to extract them out of that, retrain, recondition them.
You start talking like the trophy wife life.
What I'm saying
yeah,
is it all right. has an income and an economic impact because, it's like when you look at this as being a snapshot in time, it's one way. But when you start applying what ripple effects happens when you do not take action from this taking place, this is something that will be very costly to every community emotionally and financially.
Well, just treating women as an object.
So the tagline for our nonprofit is Raising Awareness, Saving Lives. And you mentioned San Diego.
Right.
Do you know that on January 22nd, the district attorney, Summer Stevens, announced a human trafficking prevention program in schools. This program
in San Diego.
In San Diego. It's going into all public schools. Why? Because San Diego ranks as one of the 13 worst regions of human trafficking.
13 worst regions of human trafficking.
Yeah, that's what blew my mind the last time we talked about this.
And this is to raise awareness.
And this is regarding...
This is recent.
This is recent. I'm looking at it. It's 2017.
Yeah, this is upscale, suburban, Orange County, San Diego.
The article's 2019, but it's making reference. It's recent. It's very recent.
Right. You don't think that there's, in affluent suburbia, you don't think there's human trafficking, you don't think there's sex trafficking, you don't think there's slave trafficking going on. But
no.
There is.
I attend the monthly meeting of the Orange County Human Trafficking Task Force, mm-hmm. and in one of them, they said, it was about the city I used to live in. They said that they just busted a human trafficking ring, and it was massage parlors, one in Laguna Hills, one in San Juan Capistrano,
yep.
and the owners lived in Irvine behind a gated community.
Yeah, yep. Big money.
There was one that happened a few years ago in Torrance. There are things that happened like in San Pedro. No community, I'm not picking on these communities, no community is immune. I mean, it's like, you remember one of the first shows that we had here, Paul, where we brought in a lady, and she was talking about how she was a victim of economic discrimination.
Yeah, right.
That's and she basically about. Was, she lived in a white pristine house, and she drove in BMW.
And her husband controlled her and told her what to do.
Victimization. Yeah. So for us to basically think that this is not happening, when Rima just outlined that we are in an affluent community, we have transient tourism that basically comes in, we have a highly effective hospitality industry. And I'm not putting it on the hospitality industry, right? But there is a marketplace for this.
But did you know that only 20% of the sex trade is coming from the street? 80% is in hospitality industry, home brothels, which shocked me. I didn't know there was home brothels.
Yeah,
talk about ivory
industry.
Tower. And massage parlors.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And the internet facilitates all this now, so you can just order
yes.
what you want. What's
but,
the
but
penalty
you know what
if
else?
You got caught trafficking? If somebody gets caught running this massage parlor and it's really a prostitution, is that a
what is the current?
It depends on the state. It depends on the state.
Do they go to jail? Do they pay a
they
fine?
They go to jail. They might pay a fine, but then because it's a white collar crime, they don't see it as a priority.
That's what I'm getting at. I mean, yeah, is it yeah. something that they just slap them on the wrist and they move on and
yeah,
do it again?
We can't do this. We need to increase the penalty. And again, Senator Pat Bates tried to do that previously, and it didn't work. So the legislators didn't win. So the legislators need to support her.
So I'll
be remiss if I don't mention that,
yeah.
right? Super Bowl is coming up
yeah.
in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
That is, I mean, Anna Bryan, who's our social media director, she sent me information about the fact that they're raising awareness in Atlanta because of Super Bowl.
People are coming in.
Of course,
and
it's a marketplace.
It's going to be a marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have kids being trafficked. So this is unacceptable.
So how do people get involved, Rima?
Yes.
How can they help?
They go to www.globalhope365.org. And under Contact Us, they put in their name and their email address, and how would they like to get involved, either in child marriage, in human trafficking, or in child
abuse. What are some of the
possibilities? The other ways they can do that is by calling their legislative member, senator, state assembly, or senate, and say, I want three things. No child marriage under 18, no exception. I want to increase if the penalty of someone buying sex from a human trafficking victim to a second degree felony from mm-hmm. a misdemeanor. I want to increase the jail time for traffickers. So if they ask for these three things, and if they call me and ask me to come and speak at their house of worship, at their organization, at their company, I'd love to come and speak. Or they could do a living room event, and mm-hmm. I would like to come in and speak and do that. But we need to raise awareness in order for us to save lives.
Well, are you looking
because our children's lives is at stake. I mean, it could be my next door neighbor.
They're absolutely. I mean,
because they either kidnapped or they're sold or they're lured away by someone they know.
Right. And it wasn't that long ago where kids' pictures were all over milk crates or cartons, right? I mean, so the idea of people and children disappearing and finding themselves into this is not that far-fetched if you just connect the dots. So
yeah.
You also have, you know, it's a nonprofit. So are you looking for possible donations? People
absolutely.
That want to be involved?
Absolutely.
Corporate sponsors?
Yes, corporate sponsors. We love to have them. Family foundations, other foundations, individuals. I mean, there are, I don't want to say political campaigns, that raised millions through donations from individuals.
Absolutely.
At $25, small donations.
Yep. Yep.
So because we need everybody involved in this. We need everybody vested in this in order for us to save our
kids. Yeah,
this
is not a party decision, this discussion. This is not a political discussion. This is
saving
a moral
lives,
discussion
moral,
that
ethical,
is basically
yes.
looking out for those who are the most vulnerable in our societies, our kids. You talk about being the, you know, about the future of kids, and this is one of the things that you can do. And I think Rima's request is very, very simple and very doable. It's like, you know, reach out to your political, your elected officials, let them know about the fact that you're absolutely against marriage under the age of 18, under any
circumstances,
no exceptions, and that basically you are going to want to raise the penalty for sex trafficking or sex
the buyers of sex
yeah.
from a misdemeanor to second
degree
felony.
Final felony.
And increase the penalty on traffickers.
I will also say that I'm going to put this out to people that I know, because I think this is one of those causes that is really is a good, noble cause to be involved in. And I'm going to put the word out, because of Orange County's nature of Orange County and our industries, there's a lot of people that I know that are in the hospitality industry.
Yes.
A lot of people in the hospitality industry that actually have the ear of peoples that can make this be part of us. This could be a very empowering, positive message for our people, for those companies and those management companies, those escrow companies, but people that are actually involved in the hospitality industry,
yeah,
to stand up and say, we are not supportive of any of this. In fact, we are against it, and we want to help raise awareness. And here's an organization, everybody, that is possible for you guys to partner with, that is basically engaged. Rima is very involved. She knows a lot of people and is very well networked, and this could be a really good win-win for everybody.
But I can't do it alone. I need everybody's help. All your contacts, tell them to go either online or send us a check. It's all in there for us to continue.
Can people volunteer with you on stuff?
Absolutely. Okay. We need as many volunteers as possible.
And again, the website is globalhope365.org.
Because we work on the children's behalf and the underprivileged 365 days a year.
And yes, this lady does.
And everybody's a volunteer.
Yep. So with that, I will say thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Well, thank
you
for.
So are you going to give a donation
again
to the Global
Hope? Oh, she's putting you right on it there.
Yeah.
She's going to put the squeeze on you right
I'm
now.
I'm filling
here
in one of those two remaining boxes on my piece of paper. She knows this already, though. She's putting me on the spot, but she's not really. It's my pleasure to do so.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you again, both of you, for this opportunity.
Come back. And
I will.
Bring people that are involved in this. Let's highlight their efforts, because I think it is important for people to know who's basically doing this.
Absolutely.
This is work that everybody should be involved in.
Yeah, and we're hoping to talk to our new district attorney here in Orange County about this. And a friend of mine is trying to get me an appointment with him.
Mr. Spitzer. Todd, I know you're on my Facebook. You just got asked to basically have a meeting with Rima Nashashibi, so hopefully do that. And I know a lot of people who know Todd, so pass on the message.
Okay,
all right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rima.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.